teach others the importance of life lessons. But I hope that as we grow older, we teach the importance of life biblical lessons. Not worldly lessons, but biblical lessons. There are many examples in God's Word that we can use to teach our children, that we can raise them in the way in which they should go, that they will hide God's Word within their heart. And we must teach even at an early age to watch, expect it. Our children to understand and know that they should expect Jesus to come at any moment. Oh, how sad it will be when so many people that we come in contact with on a daily basis will be left behind. Whether you and I draw our last breath here, or whether we are raptured as God's church, many individuals will be left behind. And this is why Revelation 22, these remaining verses are so important, verses 17 through 21. We briefly discussed verse 17 on May the 5th. But here we see now, we're at the very end. The time has come for the final invitation and the final benediction is being given. I want you to put yourselves in that moment as John was there getting this final revelation. As John was there being given and hearing the invitation. You know, I can't help but think of probably the most popular invitation song, in my opinion. You may have another. I just think of Just As I Am. And I just wonder that when that final invitation is given, when God's choir, he sings, he comes with harmony, perfect melody. God giving one final opportunity for man, woman, boy, and girl to understand that there's only one way to live life in him, and that is to know him. It would be rather heartbreaking, I would say, to have someone read Revelation or even someone who has been a part of this Revelation study not come to know who Jesus Christ is. As I say, we think, we assume, we presume that all who go to church are saved. We presume that all who attend on Sunday night and on these days are saved. But how sad it would be, how heartbreaking, how gut-wrenching it would be for one to read and to study the words of God in Revelation and not come to know him, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and personal Savior. You will look with me at verse 17 of chapter 22. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. First part of this verse, as we've already discussed even this morning, is a very wonderful invitation for Christ to come back to the world. The people are saying, come, Lord Jesus. Please come. We're ready. I hope that you can say that. We don't want to imagine leaving this earth, leaving this world, leaving our family, leaving our friends, leaving the comforts of our own homes. But how much greater the comfort will be. But we should be saying that, watching expectantly, and saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. We hope that. We pray for his arrival. But in the meantime, remember, we always have work to do for Christ. Submissive, triumphant, urgent. Birth, birth, Christ. And then the last part of this verse is an invitation to the world to come back to Christ. And you know, every Sunday morning, even on Sunday nights, we give the invitation. I stand here, never knowing if one will come down or not. Never knowing who's battling what within the congregation, but I can promise you, and every individual who comes into this sanctuary Sunday morning, Sunday night, and even on weekends are battling something, are dealing with heartache and loss. Maybe they don't need to come down to accept the Lord as their personal Savior, but they need to come down and just ask the Lord to make a clean heart within. search all the things of this world and we'll always feel empty. We'll always come up dry. And that's why the soul has a yearning for more, for something more. And many people don't know what that more is, and that's what you and I are to do. We're to tell them who the more is, and the more is Christ. You and I, who are believers in Christ, we should not have this emptiness. We should not have this feeling of wantonness. Our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are filled with the blood that was shed on Calvary for you and for me. And our emptiness, that void in our lives, has already been filled. We do not need to search as one who has no hope. What causes us to respond? It's that word that we don't like to use, that word we don't like to talk about, but we have to remind ourselves it is all up to you. It is your choice. That's why we respond. It is because you choose to listen to that still, small voice. You choose to react to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the manipulating, the molding of the heart, breaking down those barriers, tearing away all of those chains, breaking every one of those bonds, and coming to know Christ. It takes knowledge of who He is. It takes heart to allow Him to live within you. It's all about the matter of one's will. Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." These very words are what Jesus is all about. Do you thirst? Come to the water. This water is freely provided by God's grace. That's what it's all about, that water that you and I can drink of, the water from the well that you and I can drink of. It is God's grace that quenches our thirst. You can take this water without price. The price has already been paid. The debt has been paid in full. You don't have to pay anything to drink this water. Water here, I can drink and drink and drink. It will never officially or formally satiate my need for thirst. It may quench it for a little while, but it will not sustain me forever. Jesus Christ is the sustainer. He invites us to come to drink of His living water. God wants us to accept His precious gift. And you know, as I type this out, I probably have used this very same phrase many, many times over the course of the last several weeks, or maybe every time that I stand before you. But God's Word is not redundant. There's nothing redundant about the Word of God. And we should never grow tired of hearing and knowing that He is our God, that Jesus Christ is His Son, and that He is the gift of life eternal. He is the precious Son of God. He is the sweetest rose of Sharon. We should never grow tired of hearing those words about Jesus Christ and why He went to the cross. To know that He died for a sinner like me. Sinner like you. He died for all men. We study through the book of Revelation and we try our very best to learn more about who God is, who His Son is, and what this revelation is all about and what the end times are going to be. But the bottom line is this: you just simply need to believe in this free gift and take it. Drink the water, and you'll never thirst again. You will not have to worry about the trials and the tribulations, the real trials and tribulations during the 7 years. You won't have to worry about suffering anymore. He wants us to have life eternal with Him. That is His desire. The day that He went to the cross, that was His desire. Even about this moment in which you and I are worshiping together now, the were connected with Christ. You were personally connected with Christ the day that you accepted His saving grace. The repeated invitation to come and take the water of life freely, which represents free grace, leads us to the very ending of this glorious book. And can you believe it? I know the Sunday morning crowd probably has really gotten tired of hearing me say, come back to Revelation. But can you believe it? We're finally here. We've made it to the end of this book. And I hope one thing that you have learned about is the importance of free grace. And that it is through God's free grace that we enjoy these times. That we can continue to study God's Word. Now we know that we may not necessarily get the end of life here on this earth, but we see what life is going to be like. We see that Jesus is going to give a final invitation and a final benediction to extend one last opportunity of grace, free grace. It ends on a note of passionate, evangelical appeal. The very presentation of the gospel is about as pure and as uncomplicated as it can get. Jesus says, come drink of the water that I can give you. And I ask you this question this evening. Are you thirsty? Think about your life. Think about your soul. Think about the things that you do day in and day out. Going home and you just feel as though you're just still missing something. Something there is just not right. What is it? Examine your relationship with Christ. Are you thirsty? Aren't you glad you don't have to earn our salvation? Aren't you glad it's not something that must be purchased with monetary, painful objects? Aren't you glad that it's free? Take a free gift. Free gift of grace. That's all you have to do. And when you accept that free gift, we're going to go share it. Remember, we're not going to keep it to ourselves. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Share with you. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted. Pretty simple. Repent and be converted. There's no way to misconstrue those words. Repent of the sins that are in your life and you can be changed. You can be converted into a brand new person. Just like that. It says that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the very presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad that our sins are blotted out? You know, we remember our sins. We remember the sins of others and how they've affected us and hold on to grudges. But aren't you glad that the sins that we've committed past, present, and even our future will be blotted out? God doesn't hold grudges. If anyone had a right to hold a grudge, it would be God, but He's not a grudge-holding God. Even His Son Himself is not a grudge-holding Son. We have a tendency to hold grudges. We have a tendency not to let go. And I try to remind myself that daily in my duties as husband and my duties as a father and my duties to the community and to you as a church. We have to let things go. We can't dwell on them. We cannot let them bog us down. We must forgive and try to forget and remember to lay it all down at the foot of the cross and allow Jesus to take your burden. Allow Him to work in and through you so that He can get the honor and the glory. Repent therefore and be converted. Jesus gives one final warning here at the conclusion of this book in verse 18 and verse 19. He says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Why do you suppose that's there? Why is that there at the very end? We're wrapping up Revelation here. John has been given the revelation to show him how things are going to be. And at the very end, Jesus is giving that invitation. But then he gives one final warning to let you and I know, the readers today, that we should not add to his word. We should not take away from his word to meet our objective. to meet what we want it to be. We cannot manipulate the Word of God. Jesus gives this reminder. He gives us the blessing. He gives us the warning. And He is very blatant with what's going to happen to those who choose to add to and for those who choose to take away. He says, God shall take away His part from the book of life. You'll miss out on the holy city, and you'll miss out on all the blessings that are written in this book. Very important warning. Jesus has added that no mere human may add to or take away from God's word, for they will sustain punishment. They will sustain the wrath of God. John was commissioned to write these words. And anyone who tampered with them will bear the very consequences of judgment from God. In Deuteronomy 4:2, Moses says, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Remember, as we've studied the book of Revelation, we can go back to it in Genesis. And we see how important information was in the very beginning of the Old Testament, and how it carries great weight to the very end of the day in which Jesus Christ will come back to rule this earth. It's an important reminder that you will go from being blessed to being cursed. None of us have been asked, none of you have ever been directed or led to edit the Bible, to rewrite the very invitation which Jesus has given. The only thing that's been asked of you and of me is that we RSVP. That's what he wants. He wants you to let him know that you accept his invitation. And I hope that you who come tonight have already RSVP. It's important that you do so. Make sure that you know as you meet and greet other individuals that you teach them the importance of this very invitation. That you give them the opportunity to know what it means to be a child of God. And that no, your life's not perfect. And yes, you sin. And yes, you continue to make mistakes. And you continue to upset people. You continue to upset yourself. You continue to fall down on your knees in misery sometimes. But you know you can get right back up. Because you've got God on your side. And that He's there for you. And that one day, you're going to be an overcomer. Oh, how glorious of a day that'll be when we know that we have overcome. Verse 20 tells us, he's coming quickly. John says, he who testifies to these things says, and then Jesus says, surely, I am coming quickly. Could you imagine within the voice of that city? I imagine it's said with great authority, but it's said with great love. So I tell you this tonight. Well, he's coming quickly. He puts his very own sin to the magnificent book here begins and ends with a benediction. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, the benediction opens up John to the seven churches. Remember, as we studied that, it was important that the seven churches knew what was going on, that they knew what Jesus knew they were doing and what they weren't doing. And so John was giving that benediction to the seven churches which were in Asia. And he says, grace to you and peace from him who was, who is rather, who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. That was the first benediction that we learned today in Revelation. And here we are at the very end. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This signals that God is concerned with more than just the judgments and his wrath. He wants the people to know the message of grace and that free gift of the life of God. A God who has all the rights in the world to be filled with hate and wrath and judgment. And yet he continues to extend his grace. Sometimes in our own lives we get caught up in the busyness of life, and even in your faithful serving of the church, you get wrapped up in the serving, and you get wrapped up in having to do, and you forget why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. Sometimes it's best to step back, sit down, to be still, to know that he is God. To sit down and be still and know that he is there just for you. Anyone who has their spiritual priorities in place will find themselves longing for his return. And if you wake up in the mornings or you go to bed at night and you really are longing for the return of Jesus Christ, that is okay. You should long for his return. As I said this morning, as you know, in the life in which you all have lived, this is not our home. We're passing through this vapor of the life. And I hope that as you pass from this life, one day you'll be reminded once again Jesus and our eternal home, heaven. So what about you? Have you responded to the invitation? Have you ever felt moved by the Holy Spirit during the benediction to know the importance of what grace is all about? To know the importance of living a life under Christ. Does your heart cry, come, Lord Jesus? Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day, God, and I thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight at Samuel Baptist. Father, it is my prayer.